is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Today's radio show is taped at one of our open garden events, which are held at the Master Gardener Demonstration Garden. This is part two of the presentation that was provided earlier in the season by the Master Food Preservers, Betty Asha and Sandra Walker. The topic is preserving your harvest. Open garden days are the first Saturday of the month and are located at the Demonstration Garden, which is at Cassina Alternative High School on 251 South Beretta Street. The garden is open from 10 to 1 and presentations start at 10:30. For more information about the Master Food Preservers and the Master Gardeners, go to the Central Sierra website, which is CECENTRALSIERRA.UCANR.EDU, or you can Google Central Sierra Cooperative Extension. At this website, you'll find a listing of workshops, presentations, and all other events. You'll also find Master Gardener articles that are featured in the Union Democrat and My Mother Lode, and many of our Over the Garden Gate radio shows. So enjoy.
A couple of tricky things about, anything that you're canning, even in the pressure canner, is you have to consider your elevation. Okay? So if I'm canning over in...
Yeah, so...
If I'm canning at the beach in the Bay Area,
which I could do when I'm camping. Why couldn't I? Okay? But the elevation down there is...
Sea level.
Yeah. So I don't need to be concerned about having to cook a recipe longer. But as you go up in elevation, because some of you, I think, might be at 4,000 feet elevation.
So who has a smartphone right now can go and
you can
find
put an
out,
app on
like
your
just
phone.
For either for where you know where you live or for right here.
This is 1,800.
This is 18.
Yep.
Okay.
There's a little chart on the handout.
Again, on this tomatoes always, there's great information here. It gives a little chart. So, for example, if we were doing crushed tomatoes with no added liquid, it says. So the range is from 0 to 1,000 and then 1,000 to 3,000. So for pints, it tells you whether you're canning pints or quarts.
50.
For pints, it would be 45 minutes. No, sorry, 40 minutes at 1,800 feet right here. Is that what you're saying, Marion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's what
you're saying. Quarts, 50 minutes. So you would need to use the boiling water canner. Why? Because the steamer canner...
If you run out of water, you just have to start all over again, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a quart water boily thing.
Oh, and you add to it?
And just add boiling water secretly.
But that means you have to lift the lid.
Let the steam out.
You could put it in through your new spouts on the top.
Oh, well...
The spout on the top.
That little adjustable thing that lets the steam out. Just dribble it in.
Okay. All right.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Because the ones that we have seen that have a little raised area here is to let you know about elevation, isn't it?
Right.
Or what is that? Or the amount of time?
It tells you when it's okay.
To start the timing.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Good.
So I'm not familiar with the spout, but I suppose if you have a spout...
The trade-off is you run out of water.
Yes, you do.
Then there's no steam anyway. You can just open it up and pour hot water in.
Yeah, I can't say yes or no. We've not been told that we can do that. But if it's working for you.
So the test would be to put the two quarts of water in that. It looks like it holds and see how long it takes to boil away.
Well, we've been told 45 minutes.
I've never had it, you know, boil out. So.
And I've not used this because I'm old fashioned and I don't want to buy one because they're expensive.
They're not at the thrift store yet.
And they're not at the thrift store yet, so why should I buy one? I mean, I'll wait, you know? Somebody will get rid of their canner or steamer, and then I'll get it. But I don't want to pay the price right now. Although, Jackson has a wonderful canning store. Do you know about that? The kitchen store in Jackson?
Biggest little...
So we wanted you to know
kitchen
that.
Store
I
in the
particularly
world or something.
Wanted her to bring that because it's just kind of new, and it might... save you on water, time, lots of things. Okay? So what kinds of vegetables are you going to can in this small pot, this one, or this one? Trick question.
What was the question?
What kind of vegetables or fruits are you going to can in these three pots?
They have to have high in acid.
Is that right? It has to do with the pH.
Yeah. Good.
That was very good. So, certain vegetables, is it high or low?
High.
High, thank you. For the pH, like corn, green beans, peas.
Oh, that would be low acid, right?
That would, yeah. Those are the ones that you cannot can in just plain old water bath canning. Why?
Botulism.
She's absolutely right. Okay. So, if... for whatever reason, these vegetables that I've mentioned, cabbage, what else would it be? Potatoes, rhubarb. I've canned rhubarb
green
in my
beans.
Pressure canner. All those ones that you could think of that are nice, bright green, and you just love to chew on them. They're kind of munchy, chewable. Carrots is another one. So they all have to be done in pressure. Okay? So...
Or meat.
Fish.
Broth or stock. Fish, exactly.
I was going to bring a jar of my turkey stock. You know how at Thanksgiving nobody wants the carcass? I take it home. Boil it down, and then I just strain it, and then I pressure can it. I put it in quart jars, and I pressure can it in my pressure canner, and I've got quarts of stock at home. You could do the same with your vegetables.
Pressure canners are great for making stock, too.
Yes.
Much faster.
Well, note that there's a difference between a pressure cooker and a pressure canner.
Yes.
Which is?
Well, the pressure cooker will not go up to the pressure that you need in a pressure canner to make sure that you are safely canning something so that you won't get botulism.
So you can't use a pressure cooker to can, but
correct.
You can use a pressure canner to cook.
Yes.
You can. Yes.
You know, if
I just
had this size pot, I would just cook in
here. The difference in that, yes.
Yeah, I would just cook in here. Yeah. Because I'll use this, like, what did I do this morning? I had all my peaches in one of these big pots.
And let me tell you, if you're making stock from a carcass or something, you can cut it down from, like, 15 hours to...
So was that
it's great. No.
Yeah. You could
really
use
it's fast. Yeah.
Okay. So what else did I want to tell you?
Just don't fill it so much that you get the stuff in the gauge.
This is another drought kind of an instrument, drought thing, because you only put a small amount of water in the bottom.
And there's a rack in there.
And you always have a rack. And you put maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches. Okay. And you never, never open up your pot when it's up to pressure.
Yeah.
Because what will happen?
You're going to get hurt.
Well, you get hurt. You have this big explosion in your kitchen or your basement or your porch or wherever you're doing it. Okay. So anything, I like to pressure can. I enjoy it. Okay. I mean, I've done all these things myself. This is a pressure canned item. No, not my peaches. I just did those this morning. This is pumpkin. Has to be pressure canned. And it can't be a mush. It has to be in cubes like this, because they maintain that if it's a mush, that leads to botulism. Okay. Hmm. This is some soup, some bean soup that I made, because I like to keep things on my shelf. You know, I'm off to work. I need to bring something for lunch, just bring a jar or something. Okay.
That's pressure canning.
These are pressure canning. Okay. The rest of this is all with water.
You got a jam and a
I have a jam. This is peach jam, which you would do in your water canner. The pickles. Now, here's an interesting, not this one. This is the refrigerated one. How about this one? Do you think that has to be in under pressure?
What is it?
Cucumbers or what?
Dill. Dill.
Dill pickles?
I think they're pickles. I'm not real sure. I think it's pickles.
So it has a low pH.
Mm-hmm.
With the vinegar in it.
Do you think the vinegar is helping to bring down the pH so that I can can it in a water canner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can take any of those vegetables that maybe you just want a jar of green beans or a jar of corn or something. You can do that, but it has to go in your pressure canner. But if you pickle anything or make it into a relish, then you can put it in the water canner. And the reason why I brought the dehydrator is you can dehydrate anything.
What's this one here?
Dehydrating is so much fun. It really is. If you have extra tomatoes and you're tired, you know, and you just don't want to put the water in the pot and cut them and all the rest of it, I just slice them and put them in there and dehydrate them. Then you have a crispy tomato that you can use. You can just kind of flake it. And you can use it in your sauces or whatever. You can dehydrate anything. And I recommend that your herbs be all dehydrated. I think I already said that.
Oh, and I have an example
of
my... I know, looks a little... Might look a little odd, but... They work great. All you need is a paper bag. This is the... really good, like you said, for herbs. You probably might have done it already. You just take a few... I've got some Thai basil here. You can leave it on the stem if you want, or you could take the leaves off and then just hang it. I always tie it with a rubber band, made a few slits here, and so it's a solar dry.
And how long does
dehydrator
it take?
It depends on how big the leaves are. I did this parsley here a few weeks ago. It took, I don't know,
so
four or five days.
Yeah. The reason why you would use a dehydrator is because you can get a temperature.
Yeah, it's more regulated.
It's more regulated.
Exactly.
It's an Excalibur. It's very expensive, but it's a refurbished one. And, yeah,
oh,
I
this
mean,
is,
I'm not
that's
buying
the,
anything
that's
a
the Cadillac
price,
of
okay?
dehydrators.
Forget it. If I'm going to have something, I'm going to wait till it's going on sale, or I found it somewhere.
Excalibur.
And this was refurbished.
So
oh, okay.
The pressure canner can be electric or sit on the stove.
Oh, you want to talk about the Instapot. Are you talking about the Instapot?
I don't know about that one.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, let me tell you about the Instapot.
Oh, I know. It's something new. Okay. The last few years has come out.
Yeah, I don't have one.
It's
okay, what do you mean electric then?
Well, can you just plug that pressure canner?
No.
In?
No,
okay,
this has to be on top of the stove.
Okay.
You put 2 inches or 1.5 inches of water. You turn up your flame, and then as you turn the flame, it's a big process. You have to let steam come out for a certain amount of time. See, you put this on here. Now, this is an older one. This is called a Presto. You can get a Presto, American canner. What's the others?
Fagor.
Do you know why
There's
I got this?
Brands.
Because it was brand new and it was $40 at the secondhand store. It was still in the box, okay? So that's why I have a Presto, okay? That's the only reason why I have it, okay? And I lock it here. Once I lock it in place, then I as it's cooking, this is going to rise and steam is going to come out. When you get about 10 minutes of steady steam, then you add your dial. That's for the Presto. The American canner will
have... I have one like this.
Some of them have dials that, like, this one I use for everything. But some of the canners will say, use this dial for 10 pounds of pressure, or use this one for 15, whatever. Okay.
okay? But this is my cheapo cheapo Fresco, okay?
So it's got a gauge on it.
It has a gauge. So once it starts steaming away, and this is rocking by this time, then I watch the dial.
And it'll start building pressure.
And it starts building pressure. And usually most of the things that I'm canning, because I'm at 1,200 feet in Jamestown, only requires 10 or 12 pounds of pressure. But I have to watch it. And that's my big problem, because I start all my things at night. So I'm in the kitchen, sitting, watching the dial, falling asleep, and then I'll, you know, and then it might drop a little bit, then I have to go back and redoing the time. You understand what I'm saying? It has to be a constant.
It's pretty much a babysitting kind of thing.
Yeah.
You need to be with your canner, paying attention to what's going on.
But the Instant Pot, I think you were talking, all the pressure canners I'm talking about would be on the stove.
Okay.
Or on a big propane outdoor, what could you call it? Not a barbecue.
Cooker
or something, which I would love to have. Think of all the steam that I would save in my kitchen if I had it out on my deck. I mean, it'd be perfect, you know. But anyhow, I don't have one of those because they're expensive. I've already priced them. And I'm not going to buy one unless I run across one. Okay? So the Instant Pot is all electric.
Yeah, that would be
it's
plugged in.
It's just a cooker. It's not a cooker.
Right. And
that's
the reason why they don't
good
recommend
point
it for pressure canning is because there's been no studies done to know that it gets up to the right level of pressure to prevent the bacteria.
Mm.
But the Instant Pots are very popular right now. I don't know what to say. I don't know. They cook fast. I don't know the cost of them.
You could, I got one for $72.
Is that a good price? I don't know what
it
they
is
cost.
Yes, because a lot of them are around 100.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
so
Mike, for those of you that might be in small spaces, like I'm in a trailer, an Instant Pot might work out well for me. Because I wouldn't have to have a pot over here for rice and, you know, everything, have it all in one little deal. But I haven't invested in one. Just like I haven't invested in one of those.
They're big because they're
yes,
huge.
They are big.
They're at least as big as that, but they're small.
But people
inside
really, really believe in them and really enjoy them.
You can get smaller ones too.
Can you?
For singles. I have a small one that's just, you know.
So, to clarify about the smaller pressure cooker, that's not a pressure canner, but it's a pressure cooker, so it would be half this size usually, like down to here.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful, I feel. I've used those, but those are good for like a meal. Like you want to serve a roast, I don't know, and it only takes you an hour or something. You know, that's, it's just speeding up the process, but it's not giving you the pressure that you need
exactly
when you're canning
well, that's
something.
Just what an Instant Pot does.
Yeah, and that's what an Instant Pot does
that's
too.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else too, unless Sandra has something. Oh, except that I wanted to, because you got some free peaches from Fran there. I did get up this morning at 1 o'clock and because I went over to her house and picked peaches.
You had peaches, Nancy?
Yes, or
great.
Nancy, I'm sorry. And
lots of
so
peaches.
I got up this morning and did these peaches. I was going to demonstrate, take you through the whole process with the peaches because we're all getting our fruit right now, right? So first of all, don't let the peach sit a long time in buckets in your kitchen like I did, okay? Okay.
Maybe.
Use them as quickly as you can. In order to get the skin off the peach, you have to put it in cold water with ice in it, and then you still have to peel it, but it peels pretty easily. And then you have to cut them up, which I did, but I was tired, so I didn't cut them, you know, real pretty. And then you have to put ascorbic acid, because that'll maintain the color.
Did we bring a sample?
Okay.
No, we don't.
No,
okay.
I didn't have any at home.
And speaking of which, those are canning peaches, if anyone wants them.
Yeah.
Really?
And
are they
so
freeze?
They're
freestones?
No.
No.
But it's not red at the pit.
They
are pretty hard feeling, but they're ripe. The result of that is when you can them, they don't turn to absolute mush.
Yeah, the freestone is more for eating.
And they didn't.
We want a hard peach, a cling.
I got 5 quarts of peaches. What am I going to do with them? I have no idea. But I have 5 quarts of peaches.
You can make cobblers. Oh, all sorts of good stuff.
I have a grandson who likes
you can
peaches.
Make what?
I have a lot of
so
peaches this
camping,
year.
I always bring him a jar of peaches.
I mean, you can eat them
so,
fresh,
yeah,
but they're never going
to
get soft.
Telling
like
you.
A,
so then you've got
unless
to have a big
them.
Pot going, not a big pot, but a big bowl, depending on the number or the pounds of peaches that you have, or any fruit. You've immersed, each time you peel something, you immerse it in the cold water with the ice, okay? I'm sorry, you put it in the cold water and ice before you go to peel it. Then you take it out and peel it. But then you have to, like, put this color saver thing so it won't turn brown.
The ascorbic acid.
The ascorbic acid, thank you so much.
They call it, you buy it fruit fresh. You can buy it where you buy the lids and the rings
and
the jars.
And then I just took them, so then I just started, and then I boiled my jars, okay? I forget which pot I did that in. I can't remember. It was, you know, by this time it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, so I don't remember which pot I used. And then I just put the peaches, you know, using this. This is my funnel. I put the peaches in there. And in the meantime, I had a syrup going, probably in this pot because it's smaller. The syrup, for a light syrup, was 2.5 cups of sugar to 5.5 cups or something like that of water. Okay? And apparently she ran across a recipe that, you know, you sugar. Didn't you run across something? Maybe you didn't.
Wasn't there
in the handout.
Didn't we hand that out?
And then I just, the recipe that I brought said that it had to cook for 30 minutes because it's a quart jar, and that's what I did. I used this canner to do them in because they don't have to be under pressure, right?
No.
Why don't they have to be under pressure?
There's no...
Nothing we have... We don't want to be giving people diseased things, but still, we're a little... We're not so concerned about this. Go ahead.
I put my peaches in boiling water.
Yes.
And that makes the skin slip off.
I did that too. But these skins did not come off real well.
Because it's a canning peach and they're harder, they don't come off as easy.
But they did come off so much easier than if I just took the peach and didn't put it in boiling water. And remember your tomato. Any questions about tomatoes? Because they're tricky. They can be a fruit or they can be a vegetable. And
always
this lovely, pardon me?
That's it. Thank you, Marianne.
Always follow
when
recipe.
In doubt, always follow the
I'm so
recipe.
Glad you said that.
Yay.
And use a reputable recipe.
Exactly.
And another thing, because I'm going to go home now and make some jam because I've got this beautiful blackberries that are coming in. I've never had blackberries before. I'm so excited. And I love blackberry jam, so I'll go home and do that. But what if I just want to use all my blackberries and I just say, I'm going to put this amount of pectin in there and I'll put this amount of, it doesn't matter, I'll just throw it all in there because I want to use it. No, I'll have to use the recipe. So the recommendation, especially with jam, is to go with the recipe. And inside, you have to have pectin and be very careful when you go to use jam because some of the recipes will call for powdered pectin. And some will be liquid. And you get, I didn't bring one with me.
Sugar, no sugar, low sugar.
Here.
So it all makes
a
difference.
Here's the two.
Do you have
I did. Oh, I'm so smart.
Oh, good.
As tired as I was. Here's the powdered, what the powdered pectin looks like. Okay? And this is what the liquid pectin looks like. And in each, on the back of this, if you open it, there's recipes on this label. And in the boxes, you get these little handouts that'll help you with the proportions. The other thing I didn't mention very quickly is, you know, have you ever seen these lids?
Oh, I haven't used those.
The freezer one?
No.
Something
these
new.
Are reusable. Mm-hmm. They're put out by Tatler. And I've never used them, but it has the extra piece, the rubber piece that goes to it, so you can keep using the plastic.
Do you have to replace that?
Yes, but you have to replace. This is how they come.
And then you can use the same rim, but you can keep using this apparently. But I don't know how many times you can use it. And they're expensive.
So it costs better, it costs more cost effective just to buy the disposable lids.
Well, yes, except
because you're
lid.
Still having to replace something on that
anyway.
Yeah,
the rubber has to be replaced,
yeah,
yes.
So
yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, I had a doctor, not a doctor, I have, still have her, a daughter who went to Africa, and they were really interested in canning. Well, they can't get a hold of these lids over there. And so she was introducing the Tatler lid to them because they could keep using it over and over. I don't know how good that was, and I don't know how that turned out, but that's what she was doing. She was in Rwanda.
Ooh. So you don't have to replace the rubber every time.
No.
Eventually.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know how their mail works, whether they can, I'm sure Amazon can ship anywhere, I'm thinking, but I don't know how much that would all cost.
Is it actually rubber? I didn't see that.
I think it is. Does it say that? It felt like rubber. It felt like rubber.
Seems like rubber. Put it back.
Yeah,
don't
use it.
Yes. Question.
Question. For pomegranate jelly.
Yes.
What's your best way to get the juice?
Oh.
Well, I have.
If
a
I had already.
is that what you use?
Just buy the squirrels.
Because I've always grinder and I have my pomegranate clothes.
Yeah.
Yes. No. It
I had somebody
goes all
at
over,
work
right?
who went on, you know how you go on these websites and they go, come on over here, for $20 you can get whatever, you know, but get a whole bunch of pomegranates. So she comes back with all these pomegranates. And of course she gives them to me to prepare them, okay? So I didn't have my juicer at the time and I just kept squeezing. You know, you have one of those round things.
Oh, I had the
and I
like
just kept
for a citrus,
it.
Like an orange, or
yes,
you mean that
yes,
kind
that
of a,
thing.
Okay.
Or you could use that big sieve thing that go around.
Yeah.
But then I ran across a juicer again. I, you know, at a bargain price, and I used the juicer, and it made a big difference. But it does still make a mess. But with pomegranate, you don't need pomegranate, grape, and there's another. Fruit that you can use the juice, that you don't have to use the fruit.
Yeah, that's all I use. It's always jelly, not jam. Or
it's a,
for sure.
I'm not real sure which ones they are.
My arms are
I prefer the darker jellies than like a peach jelly or something. That's just me. I'm sure everybody's got different tastes. But I think it says in here somewhere the things you can use to replace fresh fruit. Well, I can't find it right now.
When we did canning, we've been teaching part of the grant classes that Sue Mosbacher has been giving, and that's why we've been having some canning classes here in Tuolumne County. Part of what we've been doing is teaching kids how to make jam and jelly.
Yes.
And so we started, we didn't teach them the whole process, but it's a great hands-on learning for them, and the guardian or the parent comes with the child and they sign them right there up for the fair, to enter the fair, so in the preferred preserved food section. So we did it in Tuolumne County already for
it's an all
Motherlode
fair.
Mm-hmm. And then I helped with the Mariposa. And so to get to the point of it, we used orange juice, grape juice, pomegranate juice, and apple juice.
Yeah, it says here
so
apple, grape, and pomegranate.
You can do that. You don't have to go through the whole process of, you know, with the plums or the whatever you have to make the juice. So if you want a jelly. Jam, it won't matter.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a neat thing. I think it's a good thing that these children
kids
are learning how to.
It's easy when you have the juice, when you use juice from a bottle.
I think the whole thing will go in the garbage.
Yeah, it's happened before.
I really appreciate your time and coming out. I hope we answered your question.
Good luck.